Yo, 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 you already know who it is. Price, Rob, and today, our homie, Visky, Bromigos Podcast, baby. Back, I know we missed you guys last week. We needed to recharge, get our batteries back going. But we come back with another special guest.
Right.
Our homeboy,
Visky.
Yes, he's made it. But we got to let y'all know we're going to dive into some NBA. Will KD ever return to the Thunder? And bombs away on MLB opening day for the Orioles. We'll give you guys our Rookie of the Year picks, our NL and AL MVP, Cy Young picks, and more. Bromigos Podcast, what we got to do today, Rob?
Jarvis, do it. Like, what we going to do, dog?
Just fuck with
you. Gotta hit the music.
Hit that goddamn
hit the music.
4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Rob, Visky. You know what, Rob? I'm gonna go ahead and let you lead the show today because I see you got a rant that you want to get up off your chest.
ISO. Ellipticals. Yeah. Ellipticals. Who the fuck you think you are? So look, I'm just saying like this. I don't really care who you are, why you're here. You just can't be with me. I don't really understand you. Like, I had to recently go on an elliptical. I had an appointment. I had a physical therapy appointment that I had to go on an elliptical because whatever. Don't worry about it. It's just it don't even matter right now. But I just can't get with it. I don't understand the elliptical because, like, the thing is, like, the shit is you got to, like, I've been running for the better part of, like, 35 years. And so I have been doing this shit with my hands and my feet not being connected. Why I got to connect them now? Because, like, granted, I know you could do the little this shit where you're basically skidding across the floor and all that. I'm not with that. When I'm trying to run, I'm running. I'm picking on my feet, and I'm going. If I'm riding on a bike, I'm pedaling that motherfucker. But I can't really do with this slide, slippity-slide elliptical shit. I just can't. I can't fuck with it. I don't know why it's here. I don't understand why it's here. Because I can't do the little skiing thing. I can't do the... No, man, that's not my style. I can't do that. So I abolish ellipticals. Get them out of here. Just rope. Don't need to be here no more, all right? I don't need to be Shadow the Hedgehog in this motherfucker. I need to be just doing my whatever the fuck I need to do, all right? I just can't really get with you ellipticals. I don't know why you're here. I understand that you're here. I just don't need you to be here, okay? Whatever you're doing, get out my world. Get everything. Just leave. Evict it. Cease. Vamos. Vamos.
Evict them?
Gone. Out of here. Snappity snap. Gone. Go.
Rob, I figure your experience in the snow would have made ellipticals kind of, you know, fall into place for you.
But see, you said but you saying my experience is snow. Where the fuck am I am now? I am nowhere near the snow. Why? Because I don't want that experience, all right? I don't need to be no like cross-country skier in this motherfucker. Because you're absolutely correct. That would help. But that was a past me that's gone. That guy is still in the snow like the motherfucking, like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. All right? His ass is sitting there, frozen. My ass is not. That's why I just can't get with this elliptical shit. Bye-bye, ellipticals. See ya. Sayonara. Peace out. Arrivederci.
Next time, just request a treadmill. Be like, hey, dog, I need a treadmill.
Well, it's the way my feet sit up. You know, they can't work that well.
I got it.
Your boy got it broken. So they ain't working that.
Nah, I feel. But today, we got to jump into this NBA, though.
For sure.
Do you guys think that KD will ever return to the Thunder?
Kick it off, Rob.
I'll kick it off. All right. So I say it like this. Do I think he's going to do it? Possibly. Do I think that the Thunder and do I think the Thunder want him to do it? No. And here's why I say that is because the thing with the Thunder is they got that young core that basically they've been nurturing, you know, with SGA, with Chet, with both Jay Wills. Like, they got a lot going for them, and I don't think they want to mess up that chemistry for a guy who is possibly the greatest scorer of all time. Can they do it? And would it be better for the Suns in the long run if they did it, especially because of the surplus of picks that the Thunder has? That's where it's like the benefit of it. So it's like, should they do it? It's kind of a maybe, because that's going to give you a great score. But as far as the chemistry goes, like, I don't think it's going to work as far as with them. But yeah, it's.
What about you?
Yeah.
What about you, Fisky?
I kind of think it would not work. Here's why. You don't think it was? Kevin Durant right now, you look at the type of player he is, where he's at in his career.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to put him with that Thunder team that's already gelling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you got to try to figure out how to play around KD, and that's going to throw everybody else off, and they, you know, spotting exactly what their role is with the team. Now, here's where I feel like it can get interesting. I'm not sure exactly the year that they're planning on the expansion, but I could definitely see KD going back to the Seattle Supersonics.
Okay.
Depending on the year and how long his career is going
to
last.
So you can see him maybe returning to Seattle for a reunion in Seattle, but not to the Thunder.
So he could be the man, you know, because he ain't going to, at the back end of his career, it's still going to be Shea's team. It's going to have to be. You can't make it KD's team. So it's going to be Shea's team, and he going to still want to be the man, I figure. And what better way than putting him in a new franchise?
That's true.
So I could see him going there, but seeing him go there would have to culminate in a championship. I'd have to give up a limited amount of pieces. Then picks are another thing, but pieces, like team-wise right now, I would have to be limited on the destruction of what my lineup is. And if he goes there, we have to win the championship.
Yep.
Because it could be a hallmark moment. If he goes there and it's him, Shea, Chet, Hardenstein, Jalen Williams, and they win a championship. Because to me, the one thing that this young Thunder team has that goes against them at times is they fail to close games.
Yes.
If they front running, they kill him. They will, if you let them get out front and hold a lead, they will slaughter you. They will give you the worst run of your life. But a few nights ago, me and Visky saw this. The Clippers made them sweat. The Clippers made them work. Kawhi is looking fantastic right now.
Which is crazy. Man,
exactly.
Him and James Harden. And Zubac, Big Zubac has come to the front. They need to say that, man. Yeah, they need to say, put some respect on that man.
Made me a believer.
Because he can go get a double-double and hold his own in that paint, get boards. He can get points with him, Harden, and Kawhi. I hate to say it, Paul George, you looking so bad right now. Because your lackluster production with James Harden and Kawhi right now, and then you hurt.
Yeah,
they paying you, and you keep getting hurt.
But guys, don't worry; he's not gonna podcast about it, so we don't have to worry about that part. We're saved.
My goodness, he loves talking on that podcast.
Yes, boy. He does. He does, bro. And I respect the fact that he liked talking on about that shit, but though, didn't he just get $212 million?
Yes.
How do he keep making away with this money, though?
On that KC, Ben Simmons, that Kirk Cousins.
He is the black Kirk Cousins of the NBA. He
get that Ben Simmons effect, man. You know,
bro, he get that money, and then he be like, I'm hurt.
Ooh, my leg. Ooh, my shoulder. Ooh, my arm.
I don't think he played in more than 30 games this season.
It's like the GOAT said.
Something like that.
They're getting paid off of potential now.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad. That is.
So, before we move on, I got a question for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
KD now basically possibly, like, as we're kind of summating, like, either going to the, say, Supersonics or to the Thunder, this is going to be, like, what, his fourth or 15th?
Something like that.
Are we going to ever get to the point where KD says it's his fault? Because think about this. Like, let's square all this out. That man went from the Warriors to the Nets because of philosophical differences, all that. Him and Draymond had that conversation, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
That shit didn't work out. It had toe on the line, couldn't get the shot, whatever. That shit implodes. Absolutely implodes. Now he goes to the Suns. Gets everything he wants. basically said, hey, I want to come here. I want to do this, blah, 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 blah. Like, go get Bradley Beal. Even though everybody and their mom said that is going to fuck y'all over. Because, not because Bradley Beal is a bad, it's because y'all don't really need him. And what y'all have infrastructurally, y'all need to y'all need to basically have that close hole instead of just trying to get all these players. And we said that team was top heavy. So two straight teams, two straight cities that basically take their franchises for this motherfucker. Is it going to be to a point where KD looks inward and says, I fucked up? Is there ever going to be that time that basically that man does that?
No. And I'm going to say why. Okay, so if you look at the Brooklyn situation, right? Yeah, he wanted James Harden, but two things went against him. James Harden tried to eat his way out of Houston, so he came in out of shape, and Kyrie was hurt. Now, yeah, he almost did it with his foot on the line, but if James Harden has a decent game that game, we don't have a foot on the line. They just go to the finals, and they probably win. Because they playing Phoenix. So they probably beat them and win that finals. So I'm going to say that one wasn't him. Now, me personally, the Golden State shit, he should have slapped Draymond. Draymond wouldn't have called me out my name and I wouldn't have got tossed that game. I would have been the worst example for kids ever. I would have peeled off on that nigga's ass out there that day.
Oh yeah,
y'all would have talked bad about me. I don't care.
They would have found us or whatever, but me and Draymond, they'd be like, we don't even know how to find y'all for fighting amongst each other.
Right. In broad daylight, like, y'all good?
I would have peeled off on that nigga immediately. I'd have been like, oh, I'm a bitch, huh? Right down there, we'd have got into it. We would have solved that night. Now, from now on out, I don't know how me and him would have got down. Because sometimes you fight and you be cool with people out there. Maybe he's still in Golden State if he punched the shit up out of Draymond. About a Draymond, I don't know. Now, this shit with the Suns, I will say this. I am not listening to a player who believes that they want their friend, unless your friend is James Harden, who can assist the ball and score. I'm not listening to you about Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal, we all know, was a 1/2. He was the guy once John Wall was hurt. He got to shoot 30 times a night. He not gonna get 30 shots with me and Devin Booker there. That was Devin Booker's franchise. I came over there. I'm second in command. You gotta be third fiddle now. Bradley Beal has only done good whenever one of them two is out. Because he get to shoot the ball more. If I was Bradley Beal, I wouldn't have went there.
Y'all I'd been like, hold Bradley on, no Beal treatment. Gonna get the Russell Westbrook treatment?
He wanted to go to Miami, which I don't blame.
Yeah, me too.
But not just to get on the sidetrack or nothing, but KD, I think we've all seen from KD time and time and again, he is not going to accept accountability no matter what.
Absolutely.
Nah, he's not.
Good or bad, he is not. And I mean, it's sad to say that era of players, you know, the KD, LeBron, and all them era, they try to avoid accountability, and that's just where they at.
Yeah, sure.
Well, of course. You don't want to take no blame for that. Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, so we're going to put that on the poll because I want to see what y'all think. Like, do you think that basically KD is going to ever get to the point where he says it's his fault? Because we agree that motherfucker going to basically pass that blame like it's a blunt. But we want to see what y'all basically say. So hit us up at Blue Sky, YouTube, Bramigos Podcast.
Yes.
That's the place to go to. And just basically see the polls and tell us what you think.
Yeah, we will have that pole pumping. Now, will Stephen A. Smith and LeBron just ever let this go? The line and the deceit and the back and forth between each other, bro. Will they ever just come? Will they ever sit down and actually talk like men?
I'll let y'all go. Y'all go ahead. Y'all talk about that first.
What you think, Biscay?
Since, you know, he's bringing up one of my fellow Lakers, let me go ahead. I think eventually, not saying it's going to be recent, because at the end of the day, I feel like they're enjoying the publicity of it all. Just think about it. It gives people more to talk about the what ifs. You know, I would have did this. Or he would have did that. And I think they feed and fuel to the fire. And that's just, that's all they doing. They keeping the people talking, keeping their name in the media. And that's what it's going to be. Maybe when LeBron retire and he come on the Stephen A. show or something, they might bring it back up. But they just going to let the public keep it rolling for a while.
Like, just basically have us play with it. You know, not necessarily them talk about it, them hash it out. It's like, all right, let's see. Let's give them something to talk about. You know, that kind of
thing. Definitely. I feel like that's all it is. Because it's too late to go back and say what you would have done or I would have done this. No, we don't want
this is what I'm going to say, though. This has the outcome of Mike and Isaiah Thomas written all over this shit. Somebody gonna blow up too much, and the other person is just gonna be who they are, and they never gonna talk. Because one person is gonna become unbothered by this, and I think that person is gonna be Stephen A. Smith at some point. He's gonna become unbothered by this. And LeBron is gonna still be bothered by this. And Stephen A. Smith gonna be like, you know what, I give up. I can talk about other shit. And that's what it's going to be. And I think he's going to leave him alone. Never to, just to let him be what he is. Because I hate to say it. Yo, Laker get caught lying all the time, right?
Yes.
They just caught him lying, telling people he wanted Marquise Morris in the trade for Luka. He just got caught lying. I don't know why he just can't say what he wants.
Y'all noticed that? Man.
Why he just can't? Look, no. Fuck that. If I'm the person that's the head of the NBA and I run this, if I'm David Ruffin of the motherfucking NBA, you think I'm gonna care who I request? I'm gonna go in Jeannie Buzz's office and say, hey, they came to see me. So you go get whoever I want and I don't care who knows.
That's the perfect fact. Like, I don't know why he's scared. Like, if I'm the HNIC in this mug, hey, I don't care.
Because we all saw, like, we all were like, there's no way you don't. We did a whole. Y'all go in the archives, check out the episode where me and Nate basically talk about how this nigga was hashtag lying. We said, like, there's no way he couldn't have known. Like, he did not just basically just woke up or was at dinner and it's like, damn. We got Luka now? There's no fucking way. And that they negative. If they traded Dalton Connect, any of Austin Reeves, any of those other cats on the team, and LeBron said he didn't know, I'll be more inclined to actually believe that. Because true. I'm like,
you don't trade the big star without knowing.
You don't trade the nigga that he brought in that basically is signed to the shit that he helped create. That's
exactly
the whole thing is like. You ain't gonna tell me they said, hey, we're gonna trade AD and we're gonna get Luka and we're not gonna tell LeBron anything. Bullshit.
Ain't no way. Come on, Bron. You got a better chance of making me believe you done did something else besides not knowing about that trade.
Let me tell you something. You can't tell me that trade happened and he was like, I didn't know. Because it's facts that we all know Rich Paul got all of these guys signed. We know that this is a fact. Then on top of that, we know that anytime something happened, he know about it. He has a hand in this. That's like if you ran this, if y'all two was running and I was like, hey, dog, I need y'all to go get Luka for me. Y'all gonna be like, all right, we're gonna let you know once the shit go through what they want. Ain't no nothing gonna be outside of my ear. And to be honest with you, the night that I'm gonna say this, and this might sound petty. That night that AD said that it took him longer to get them 30 point games than
did it.
I think that's what did it right there. He was in the Bentley. He was in the Bentley headed back. Word, nigga, I got you. Oh, make the move. Like make that, the move.
Like that's how you feel, big dog? Like, okay.
Why is LeBron still getting this much that he wants? If we notice it, like, at the end of, you know, it's really at the real back end of his career, like, why?
Nobody's willing to challenge him, Visky. Nobody.
Let's pull back. Didn't he get that kind of privilege? Because the nigga's got the most points in all of the NBA history. The nigga played in all the minutes. In every NBA history. I think the nigga played in like what? Like a third of all the NBA, not a third, but like a fifth of all the NBA finals and shit like that. Like he's had, like, he's basically done a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, if you're going to give it to, and the nigga's in his, like, 22nd year. Like, if you're going to give it to any nigga, you're going to give it to him. Like,
true.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. He's
like, you
still,
say nobody's challenging him, right?
Yeah, nobody challenges him.
Yeah.
They let him go. Let me tell you something. I think the one thing that goes in his favor is I think a lot of stars are afraid to be looked at as assholes if they challenge him. Mm-hmm. That's why I couldn't be a superstar. Because see, if I was 6'8 and had to match up against him, I'd have been talking shit. I'd have been talking hella shit to this dude because absolutely. Nobody does this to him. And I know that this is going to sound crazy. If Lance Stevenson was the size of Kawhi Leonard and had Kawhi Leonard's skill, and Stevenson would be like the goddamn Lex Luthor of the mm-hmm. NBA.
Yeah, especially with his personality. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. There's no Lex Luthor to him being Superman.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to go mm-hmm. beat a bad guy. And if they would go beat, it would be awesome.
Yeah, because the only motherfucker mm-hmm. was Kawhi. Like, that motherfucker, Kawhi struck fear in that motherfucker's heart. Like,
yeah.
And it was the, and I think, and because put your tinfoil do-rags on, I think
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
LeBron worked with the basketball gods to basically injure Kawhi, to basically have that nigga basically get hurt because of his body. That was the nigga's kryptonite. He was like, I can't combat this strong athletic motherfucker. Like, he's mm-hmm. like, all
right. That makes sense.
Do you see the run he's on right now? Kawhi is killing right now. Him and James Harden.
And he really still came back to play. I'm like, Kawhi, he must still want it, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm telling you, though, that Kawhi, look, I'm going to tell you this, Vizky. If y'all can manage to survive a first round and y'all got to see them, it's going to be hell for y'all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because James Harden may not do everything Luka does, but he can do the shit Luka does. Rebounds, mm-hmm. points, assists. And if you put Kawhi ass on LeBron, we know LeBron about to struggle. Because it ain't gonna be no walk in the park over there.
If they play like they playing right now, it could be a doozy, I believe.
We just saw Orlando blow the Lakers out and made LeBron Paolo Banchero, who I will speak that if the Orlando Magic can get some more pieces, we're gonna be talking about them going to the NBA Finals, though.
I believe.
Because that dude is special. Paolo had LeBron looking older than old.
Yeah.
He was out there. That's the first time I ever seen LeBron run from a switch. That's the first time I seen LeBron run from a switch. He put Jackson Hayes on Paolo. Paolo said, nah, bring his old ass back over here.
Like, come on, get on me. Come on, let's go.
Give him the work. Wop, wop, give him the work.
But now LeBron plays a lot lazy. It's exactly, you know, what's been happening in the past few games. He's making lazy plays, and he's not really that energetic anymore.
Yeah. You
see it a little bit.
Year 22.
He ain't got it no more. Yeah, 22 years taking about you, though. Yeah. 22 years. And I got to speak on this. One more NBA topic, Biscuit. I know you don't want to talk about this, but I got to talk about this.
I'm breaking my
Your
heart.
Lakers had the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows in a 24-hour span.
Mm. You know, the excitement to the depression was quick for me.
Rob, it was amazing because I was on the phone with him for the second game, for the depression. He couldn't believe it.
I was jaw hit the floor.
They mm-hmm. won by Tippy in the first game. LeBron, yeah, we do shit like mm-hmm. this. We win. Mm-hmm. And the next night to hear this nigga say, I can't fucking believe this, dog. This nigga hit Uber. This shot from hell.
Over LeBron.
This was the equivalent, bro. My equivalent was the Pacer game. I popped like a big return at Royal Rumble.
Mm.
And my depression the next game was like seeing my favorite lose the title at WrestleMania. That's how far on the spectrum I went.
Just and it was depressing. Josh Giddey. Damn.
I was like, Giddey? I was like, how do you just let him just get a good, he got a good half court look. No
47 feet. Nothing but that. Just 40. Rob, if you would have heard him on the phone, he said, I can't believe it.
It's fair.
But that goes to the lazy play. Look at that inbound pass. Like, them 9 points. They scored 9 points in 12 seconds. That lazy inbound pass, that was stupid. Like, he just, it was all LeBron's fault.
I'm going to tell you something. That 13 and 30 by T-Mac was something. But that 9 points, y'all, just...
That 9 points in 12 seconds, I was like, no way. No way.
That one is going to be written in the history books because LeBron threw the laziest inbound pass. Mm-hmm. Kobe White, three. Mm-hmm. First, it's a three in the corner. Then a three, a lazy inbound, another three. Austin Reeves cuts to the basket, and the Lakers are like, we got this. They don't have a timeout. Inbound dribble up the court. Swish.
And it was crazy because he started howling and I got quiet. I was like, Nate, don't do it to me. Don't do it to me.
44 points in the fourth quarter is what they put up to beat them, bro. 44 points in the fourth quarter.
It's always one of the second half quarters. We always play horrible.
Beat them in the second and third quarter, bro. He told me, he said, they up 18, dog. This game about over. And them fools went for 44.
I think that was like, with like 7 minutes left or something?
Like 7-8 minutes left. Like, he was like, oh, it's over with, dog.
In 4 minutes, it got to like 9 points. I'm like, hold on.
Just the earth just crumbled for him after that. He was like, it's no way. I was like, dog, it happened. He was like, it all happened, though. It was horrible for y'all. But we're going to move on from NBA and Jarvis's depression to MLB. Opening day, Rob, the Orioles went bombs away.
Mm-hmm.
Rutschman, 2 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
That boy, Cedric Mullins, 2 home runs. They hit 6 in total. Could we have been right that we're going to see them again if them bats can be like that all season?
Telling you, they boat racing, like them and the Rangers. They're gonna be boat racing this season because that pitching, much to be desired. But O'Neal, Tyler O'Neal, I think hit a home run for like the 6th straight opening day, like which is
6th straight opening day,
nuts. Like shit, because he's been on, because this is his 3rd team in like 6 years. Like shit, both of our teams basically had him. Like.
Yeah, like, and he hit one for us.
Yeah, so
he hit one for us. That's what I'm saying.
But now this Orioles team is gonna be good. But shit, as we saw today, the fucking Yankees had 20. Aaron Judge hit 3 home runs. Like, I mean, the AL East. Both of them actually gonna be crazy, but the AL East is gonna be nuts. Like, as far as the division between the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Orioles. Like, and that's not to count like what the Blue Jays gonna probably do, because Vladdy, you know, gonna be some nice this year. We gonna talk a little bit more about him in just a second. But yeah, man, this AL East is gonna be crazy.
I see that you do want to get back up on the train of we need to protect these pitchers' heads.
Yes, because I mean, it's got to get to a point where they talk about it. Like we've been saying, like, hey, MLB, you're not saying anything. There's no kind of words. You're talking about, you know, automatic balls and strikes. You're talking about, you know, different parts of the game, like when it comes to, you know, what's going to happen with the regional sports nets, whatever. It's got to get to a point where you're talking about pitchers. We're only a matter of time before somebody's going to get clocked and then they're going to die. Period. Die. And so it's got to get to a point where it's like, hey, these pitchers' heads are protected. Why don't you basically have these guys wearing face guards? You see it with softball. You see basically those pitchers wear like some kind of, you know, like a face mask, you know, to an extent that's basically connected like with a strap, or you basically have it like to the hat or something like that. There needs to be some level of protection when the balls is coming out, because the pitchers are going to be vulnerable. And yes, they got their gloves, they got their reflexes, but that can only help you so much when the ball is coming 150 miles an hour to your fucking head. And so you got to get to
it. That's my only question, Rob. Do you think it's been brought up and a lot of the pitchers have, you know, went against it? Because think about the head guard in the NFL. The one person who needs it, Tua, he didn't even want to wear it. And that's the one person who needed it. So do you think it's been a little pushback from the pitchers?
But it may have been, but we haven't heard about it. To your point, like, we haven't really heard any pushback. Because I think it's a lot easier for there to be a case if MLB has this safety measure to do, like they did have with those big padded hats in the past. And then everybody said, no, I don't want to do that. It's a much easier thing to basically say, we're trying to do this. The pitchers are choosing not to versus nothing. Because now it basically makes it seem like there's nothing that basically has been said. And this is not a thought to them. When, to be real, this should be the, on the first and foremost forefront. Like, this should be on the top of their minds, because if there's a pitcher that dies, you're going to have less people wanting to have, that's going to want to play their sport. That's going to want to play this position that is the most important position on the field. You need a pitcher to play. There, the game doesn't roll without a pitcher. In football, you cannot have a quarterback. With basketball, you cannot have any of those five positions. Hockey, all this. You cannot play the game of baseball without a pitcher. So if you're not emphasizing the safety of the most important position on that field, then you basically are, I don't know, like you're not thinking clearly.
All yeah, you're making it bad for future. Future prospects are going to deteriorate away from that position.
Correct.
Okay.
Makes sense.
But being a fan, Viskey, do you think that it would make you feel some type of way seeing your favorite pitcher wear something on his head? Or wouldn't matter to you as long as you get the same production out of that pitcher?
As long as I can get the same production, because I'm all for safety, and as long as the pitcher or my pitcher, who is I'm rooting for, as long as he doesn't feel like it's interfering with his game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why I said I felt like it could be a little pushback, maybe if they tested it out, because I could see a few of them probably being like, no, I can't see, it's in the way, I don't know, can't see the zone or whatever. So as long as they get something that's not oversized and doesn't interfere with their vision, I guess I'm okay with it, because it's not really a contact sport like football, the way that matters to
yeah.
me, you know? So that's where I'm at.
And to be real, I'm with you. Like, if they basically are choosing not to do it, like you said, with like Tua and the Guardian cap, like if they're choosing not to do it, I'm fine with that, because I'm a person of pro-choice, period. Like, you have a choice to basically protect yourself or not protect yourself. Cool. My thing is, there's been radio silence, and I don't like the radio silence part about it, where this isn't being talked about and we're just going to be reactive instead of proactive, and not necessarily say, here's what we have for this aspect that can that is very likely. You know, we already seen guys with basically brain hemorrhages get hit, or guys
yes.
would get hit with pitches and having brain hemorrhages right there on the field. This is something that's a real possibility. That's my issue.
I think that it's going to come down to them figuring out what's going to work the best and be the best for them. Because, you know, you have some pitchers who have these unique styles, like and people like Johnny Cueto, who like to try to throw people off whenever he's pitching. And yeah, it's rocking back and forth and stuff and all this. He's weird crap. I think that's part of what it is, too. But in the NFL sport, I'm going to be honest with you. If I was with Miami, I'd make it a part of Tua's contract. I'd be like, look, you're going to wear this shit 18 games in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You are my investment.
We give you this $200 million. Nah, motherfucker. Put it on.
You're going to wear it this year.
Yeah, you're going to wear this.
It out. Do some neck stretches.
Yeah.
Do whatever you got to do.
You gonna wear this, buddy. I know he may not want to wear it, but you look, you my $200 million investment, okay?
Yeah. Like,
while you here, wear this.
Yeah.
That, after that, you somebody else's shoe.
Exactly. Now, yeah, wear this.
Exactly.
Yeah, you go. You make it seem like
they got him wearing a cage on the field or something. Right. Just an extra little piece of helmet.
Look, bro, it's an extra accessory. Look, I'll tell him, think about it. It's helmet bling. That's what I tell him. It's helmet bling for right.
you,
dog.
You got a dome on your dome. You know, like, that's just something. It's a sales pitch, you know? It's just like, just
slap this shit on, though.
All right, it's like a little bumper on your bumper. Like, just go ahead.
Yeah. I'd even have on. Some styles for him. We could style it for you. What you want, man? Cool,
like, we could put, you know, like, logos on it. You could have, like, Ferrari, a Louis Vuitton, that motherfucker. Like, you could get some extra money in your pocket. Like, just
exactly. whatever you want with this thing.
Shit.
You can make this thing pop. Now, award predictions.
Okay.
Rob, I see. But NL MVP, you saying Austin Riley.
I sure
Tell
am.
Tell me why.
This is not to appease this motherfucker over here. This is really just to basically say, I think that Austin Riley is actually like a really good third baseman. I think this is his year to win the MVP. I think with that Braves team, especially because they still got Chris Sale, Matt Olson, Ronald Acuna Jr. is going to be coming back. Spencer Strider is going to be coming back. All these great players. I think he's going to be the big part of that team. And so I think that with all those factors coming in and with the AL East, NL East, see, I'm getting tied up. With the NL East being basically so competitive, I think that he's going to be the guy on that team that's going to carry that team to where they need to be, whether that is the playoffs, basically being a contender and everything like that. I think he's going to be the guy for the NL. So, and granted, there's a lot of dudes. Shohei is still there. You know, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts. You know, there's still guys that are still, like, in the contention for, you know, the NL MVP. But I think Austin Riley is actually going to be the one that's going to win it this year.
Jarvis, I see you have Fernando Tatis. Tell me why.
Didn't even pick one of your own people. Damn.
I mean, you know, I had to take my fandom out of it and make sure we save this clip of Rob picking Austin Riley. But, you know, I wanted to take my fandom out of the ordeal and really look at it as I think the Padres, for the past few years, they've been right on the cusp. And I really think this might be the year that Fernando Tatis breaks through and kind of pushes the Padres to the forefront, because they're always right there in the playoffs. They always have a great record, and they could beat the good teams. They can. And it's hard to hang with them, especially when the bats start swinging. So I feel like Fernando Tatis will have a breakout year and really push them over the edge and possibly make a World Series run.
Now, me, I'm picking Juan Soto of the Mets, and I'm going to tell you why. He's stepping out of the shadow of being a Yankee. He's across the way. I feel like he has a vendetta and he has a point to prove.
Okay.
And I'm thinking he's going to hit 40 bombs, which he's already hit one. Okay. And I'm thinking he at least got, he socked the shit up out of it. And I think he at least got 39 more in him this season. And he has a point to prove, and he's going to stand on business in the Subway Series and show the Yankees, you ain't shit. I was the new motherfucking David Ruffin. That other niggas, he's getting old. Ain't nobody come to see you, Otis. That's what he's gonna tell Aaron Judge. Ain't nobody come to see you, Otis.
Damn.
And he's gonna prove his point. And I think he's gonna help the Mets fight for New York supremacy.
So you think he wants to bring the Mets to the forefront of New York?
Yes, he does. Him, okay. Lindor, that team is put together very nice. Now, like we said, the Yankees have shown today that a bunch of those guys on those 1 years got something to prove. But whenever you're a man with as much money as Soto got, sometimes you got to go out there and slay Goliath to prove your point. And I think that that's what he's going to try to do. I think that they're going to try to make it and make a real deep run. That's why I'm picking him for NL MVP.
For sure.
Now, AL, Rob, I gotta hear why we picking Vladdy. I think I got a reason why, but I gotta hear why we picking Vladdy as your AL MVP.
Big Bad Vladdy Daddy Jr. Basically, he's gonna win the MVP because we talked about this. I've been basically giving y'all the code, giving y'all the game. This is a contract year. That man is trying. We talked about how Juan Soto is trying to prove basically his contract. Vladdy's trying to prove why you should have paid his ass before. And so basically he's going to go out and he's going to show niggas that he basically should be paid and should be paid handsomely. He should be a $300, $400 million man because that man been putting up numbers since he's been in the league. He's been one of the top MVP candidates within the AL basically for the longest. So I'm thinking this is his year to shine. And you still got Aaron Judge, and you still got all these great players, like some of the ones that my guy's going to basically name in a minute. But that man is on a mission to basically get his money, and I think that that's going to put him over the edge. I can't wait to see it. I really want to see Vladdy basically get over the hump and actually win an MVP this year.
Jarvis.
I like to have a quick rebuttal, though. Quick rebuttal. Okay. Before we get to my choice. Not really a rebuttal. Vladdy was actually my next pick, my second choice that I almost went with. It's not really a rebuttal on Vladdy deserving it. It's the fact that I think the voters are going to take his team that he's with into account, and I don't know if they're going to really give it to him based on that, which I don't agree with.
That's
so
fair.
That's just because I almost picked Vladdy. Then I was like, I think they're going to, you know, put him down the list because of his team. That's just all.
That is true. Now that is true, because like the Blue Jays, they're gonna be the fourth seed in this fourth place in this motherfucker on that in the AL West. I mean AL East.
Yes.
And yeah, now that's absolutely true.
But I do love Vladdy though, so I think it's a great pick, and the reasons because it's contract year. Yes. Moving on.
So Jordan Alvarez for you, Jarvis. Tell us why.
Now, as much as, you know, many of my friends know, I'm not an Astros fan whatsoever. But again, I take my fandom out of it because this mofo's always hanging around. No matter what, the Astros, the name of they're in contention. Mm. And I think Jordan Alvarez could be the sleeper. I feel like he could come out hot. Even if he has a slow start, it's proven that when it's time to crank it up at the end of the year, he is there. He's knocking them to RBIs, home runs. He's putting the ball in play.
That's true.
And I feel like, once again, you know, they're going to be hanging around, and he could come up with his name in talks, depending on how other people perform.
Nah, that's a good pick. I like him. I really like Jordan. That's one of my favorite players. Like,
So, my pick, Bobby Witt Jr.
A great pick.
He is here to show Patrick Mahomes that he isn't the only man in Kansas City that could run some shit.
True that.
32 home runs, 31 stolen bases, 109 RBIs, batted .332 last year. We even mentioned that last year he was just overshadowed by everybody else having a great year. And I think he's going to try to take one more step this year. And I think he's going to push closer to 40 home runs. He's still going to probably bat .300, get over 100 RBIs, probably steal at least 30 bases. The man is fast. The man is very fast.
Boy,
he runs quite fast. Yeah, that boy can move. That boy be moving. And I think that he's going to show up this year, and he's going to say, hey, it's my time. My AL MVP. Now, we all know that they got people who's going to be everywhere in this, which we know Judge is going to be out there. Probably maybe even Richmond. Your choice is Vladdy. Jordan is going to be sleeping out of them. It's gonna be tight this year. It's gonna be tight. We might even see Jose Ramirez in there too for the Guardians.
That's another great one.
He might be putting in work for a long time.
Like, yeah.
It's like I keep saying, if y'all not watching baseball, I don't know what the hell y'all doing, man. You know, go ahead, get your little subscription, find your little bootleg site, something, dog. You need to be watching. Because you may think it's boring. But these people be out there throwing heat and hitting bombs, and I be like, ah, damn.
Gotta catch it.
Yeah, it definitely goes down. Now, Cy Young choices. Jarvis, I see that you are being very unbiased for your NL, you know, Cy Young choice. Blake Snell for your Cy Young choice. Go ahead and let the people know why.
I mean, when you look at the team he's a part of, being a part of the Dodgers, who is probably ultimately most of all baseball fans' favorite to go out into the World Series. I think Blake Snell, he's going to come out and do what he's supposed to do, and that's win games. Point blank period. It's not going to be no secret. It's not going to be any surprises. He's going to come out strong and like he's supposed to be, and that's what's going to get the job done, because he's going to do what he's supposed to do. Point blank.
That's it.
Rob, I just gotta ask, why Corbin Burns?
Because Burns is great. Like, I mean, think about it. Corbin Burns, year in, year out, especially because he's not a Brewer anymore, so I can like him now. He basically has been showed out for the Orioles. Basically, this Diamondbacks team, granted, probably is not going to win the NL West, because the NL West is with the Padres, with the Dodgers, it's very much congested. But the D-backs are really good. Like Corbin Carroll, Kettle Marte, like they got play. Eugenio Suarez basically has been starting out great. Like they have a great team, and I think that that's going to carry them, especially they got Zach Gallen. So they're going to be a team that's going to be a contender, probably a playoff team. And I think Corbin Carroll is going to carry them as the ace. He still got it. He still got, you know.
Corbin Burns.
Corbin Carroll. Yeah, Corbin Burns. Yeah. There's too many Corbins in this world. Corbin Burns. He's going to basically
Corbin, my man.
He's going to carry on as the ace of that staff, and I think he's going to carry on as the Cy Young winner in the NL.
Okay. Now, I don't know how everybody just skated over this, man. So, nobody decided to pick Yamamoto but me. So,
I would say he was my number two pick. And I would basically say, because my thing was, I don't see why Paul Skeens is basically on everybody's mind as far as the NL Cy Young winner, because that nigga only pitched like half a season. Granted, pitched half a season while basically being drafted 2 years ago, but pitched a half a season nonetheless and killed it. But no, it's like, I was basically like, I can't believe people are on him. But Yoshinobu Yamamoto basically was like the number two guy that I had there, because he's going to be nice. But what's your reasoning?
So look, Yamamoto is in the perfect spot, though. Just think about it. Yeah, he's Blake Snell's teammate, but I don't think Blake Snell is the pitcher that Yamamoto is. Okay?
No, he's not.
He's in there with a rotation with Dustin May, Tyler Glass now. Okay. Mm-hmm. This whole rotation that the Dodgers have is immaculate.
Yes.
And I think he's the person that's going to take them over the top, because we know that we're going to see Shohei pitch. But we know that there has to be a full-time ace. And this is their full-time ace.
I think, this is what I think. Being that he's teammates with Blake Snell, this is kind of why I think Blake Snell would kind of come out on top, because everybody's going to want to put the best that they got against Yamamoto. They're going to want to, you know, swing out on him. So I feel like, you know, when it comes to him, they're going to be bringing their best bats toward him, and it might come into play right there. And that's why I feel like Snell might come in and pick up the slack that's needed and kind of maybe overshine him a tad bit.
What you were going to say, Rob?
No, that's both very fair points, but I got like a sidetrack. Y'all think about the possibility of Shohei possibly being the Dodgers closer? Because granted, right now, Blake training is going to be basically the Dodgers closer with good reason. But think about the possibility of Shohei coming, basically had the possibility of hitting the game, go-ahead home run in the game, coming in as the closer right after that. Think about like closing, getting the save, and hitting the go-ahead home run.
That'll be news media worthy. Like, that'll be amazing, like, to see something like that.
I think they'll try to do that shit because they can. Because that shit will be some brains. Like, that's going to be some shit. Like, because they granted, they don't really need Shohei to pitch at all. Mm-hmm. They got plenty of motherfuckers.
Yeah, Roki Sasaki now. And I was going to bring him up too. Like, Roki Sasaki now. The Dodgers, I told you, the Dodgers got the money book managers of Jesus Christ over there working their magic on how we going to finagle this money to get everybody in there. I'm telling you, whoever they pay, NBA teams, I don't know whoever the Dodgers are paying or who. Look, you need to get whoever they paying to train whoever you got to do the books. Because there's some wizardry going on over there.
And it has been in the media that Shohei, he has been pitching a little more. So maybe that's a sign right there, you know. They've been talking about it.
Yeah. I mean,
but him coming in and getting a save and hitting a home run, that would be crazy.
Like, I was thinking about that shit. I was like, man, there's a clear possibility that he could do that, because he's already gotten a save before. Like, if everybody remember what happened during the World Baseball Classic when he struck out Max Trout to basically win the World Baseball Classic. So he's got it in him. The dog is there. It's just, do they want to bring that dog out to basically have him do that shit during the actual MLB season? That would be
crazy. Kind of scary, though.
They're going to pull out some scary. A wild thing type of entrance, too. Watch.
That would be crazy to have to deal with him. That would be crazy to know that you got to deal with him for 3 outs and he going to be throwing gas and shit for the next 9 to 20 pitches and he can go all out in that little short period of time. That is crazy to have to think about. Mm-hmm. That is very crazy to have to think about. Now, our AL Cy Young. Rob, I see that you want Pablo Lopez to win this, but you think, but you say Cole Reagans will win it. Explain to the good people.
So, I like Pablo Lopez. I think, like, I've heard him in interviews and stuff like that. Dude comes from, like, a really nice family. He seems like a really nice dude. Like, he just, for some reason, it's something about him. Like, I really want him to win it. He's been nice for the last few years. You know, he's been, not like, been with the Twins and been kind of killing it there, even though we kind of killed him yesterday, or no, Thursday in opening day. Go Birds, go Cardinals. But even with that, I want him, it's for some reason, I just really want him to win the Cy Young because he's been putting in so much work. But I think Cole Reagans is going to basically be the one that does it, especially with the Royals, how well they're going to play this year. He's going to be the ace of that staff. I think he's going to end up being the Cy Young winner. But yeah, I just want Pablo Lopez to win it, but it's all good.
Okay, so I'm going to piggyback off of what you said right now. I can agree. I think Cole Reagans probably will win this, but I also, too, have a maybe, and that's Carlos Rodon. Okay. Carlos Rodon looked really good the other day. Okay. And I was like, could he have a really nice resurgence? Could he pull a Sale move? You know, because somebody said Chris Sale was done last season. This nigga went and won and won a Cy Young Award. There was a person named Rob said Chris Sale was done. And Chris Sale went and won a Cy Young Award.
Did he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
That guy?
I'm pretty that guy.
In the Bob Marley shirt. Him?
That guy. Definitely that guy.
Huh.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I just gotta throw that one out there.
Get the out of here.
Yeah.
Huh.
I told you, you keep speaking badly upon these people and they go and play great.
Damn. That's crazy. That's crazy.
I'm going to just throw that out there. My pick, I do think Cole Reagans is probably going to win it because of where he is. Carlos Rodon is probably going to be my second pick for that. But somebody, you know, who doesn't have team bias, but
objective journalism, he likes a player.
Objective journalism. Named Jarvis picked Max Fried, who used to play for the Atlanta Braves.
This might be what my fandom has came into play right here. Because it is
now.
It is Max Fried's time. Even though he has left us, he has played a many great years for the Atlanta Braves. And I feel like he is going to go into New York. He is going to show why he was the man. Okay, he is going to go in there. He's not going to finish second again. He's not going to finish fifth. He is going to finish first place for the AL Cy Young. And he is going to, now I'm not saying the Yankees are going to be great, but he within himself is going to be great. He is going to get a lot of wins. Okay, you can all you want, Rob. You know, I see it.
I am just listening to a conversation that we're having. That's all I'm doing.
Okay.
I'm just...
Well, what's the objections? Why won't Max Fried succeed in New York?
Because like the name of his spelling, like the spelling of his name, he's fried. That man is cooked. He got overpaid by the Yankees for them basically overcompensating for them losing out on Juan Soto. And that man is not going to make it enough to basically get a Cy Young. All right? That
so he's not worth the money? Overpaid?
No, he's not.
Oh, come on.
That man, look, that man has been hurt upon hurt upon hurt. And he's basically now in a new place that is not a pitcher-friendly park that basically now he has to figure out. And nah, man, Cy Young, no. Absolutely zero. No.
Right.
No. Not happening.
All right. I'll be talking to you around October, Rob. We're gonna visit this.
I can't lie to you, though. He did get overpaid. As a result of Juan Soto not being there.
Hey.
He did get overpaid as a result of him not being there, though. They gave him 8 years, $218 million.
So you can't be mad at that man for doing
that.
Nah,
I ain't mad at him. He did. Look,
he saw an end and he went.
If somebody's willing to pay for your bullshit, make sure you have exact change. And that's what the Yankees wanted to do. And they paid for his bullshit. But that ain't mean that I gotta basically enjoy it. That ain't mean that I gotta basically co-sign it. Fuck no. He ain't.
The writing is on the wall, Rob. Let you know it's on the
wall. And they believe he has 8 years.
Off the ball, everything, like when that nigga pitches.
He could be like Verlander, though. They clearly think he could go be like Verlander and pitch until he's like 40. That's clearly their thing. They think he can be like Verlander and pitch until he's 40. Which Verlander is like the LeBron of the pitching game in the MLB. Because Verlander is still throwing great shit at damn near 40 years old. Which is crazy. That's crazy.
That dude.
That is crazy work. Now, Jarvis, even though you don't have any picks for Rookie of the Year, me and this man right here about to go back and forth.
I do. I admit, Rob, I haven't been keeping up with rookies this year, so I will let y'all have it.
What made you pick Dylan Cruz as your NL Rookie of the Year?
That man is awesome. For one, I'm going with the Tribe. He's an LSU Tiger, for one. And so I got to go with the people. You know, I got to go with the folk. And I do think that he's a very talented dude. Everybody know that I'm really liking the Nationals, especially with James Wood and like all the cats that they got there. CJ Abrams, all them cats. So I think he's going to be the guy that's going to basically show out for that team as a rookie and basically be the, not the catalyst, but like somebody that's going to really play a part in them competing in the NL East. And so like, I think he's going to be that dude. And like I said, he's a Tiger. Why would I go against a Tiger?
I can understand where you're coming from, man. And go LSU, but...
Go Tigers.
I think Matt Shaw, Chicago Cubs rookie, will be that guy in Chicago. He can play shortstop, third, and second.
True that.
Okay? Which Chicago is going to need every bit of help that they can get. Because I still believe, even though their team is good, that they're still the Cubs. And that Cubs will do Cubs shit. Okay? It's that simple. It doesn't have to be much more than that, but I do think that he will be that guy for them. I think he's going to have a great year. I'm thinking somewhere, probably around 20, 25 home runs, somewhere around there. He's got good pop in the bat. He can feel damn good. So I definitely got him showing off for the Cubs this year. Yeah. And being that particular NL Rookie of the Year, I'm going to let you go ahead with your AL Rookie of the Year. Go ahead with Cam Smith. Go ahead and tell the people why.
So, as y'all may not be aware, that during the Alex Bregman trade, they basically traded for a rookie named Cam Smith. Cam Smith actually just had a very tearful video, I don't know if you guys saw it, where basically brought in his family, showing that he got called up to the league. I think this guy is good. I looked up his stats in the minor leagues. He's actually been hitting the tar off the ball. Like, I think he's going to basically translate up to the majors with the Astros. He's going to be their starting third baseman. And I think that he's going to show out for them. Like, we talked about how the AL West and how that's going to be a firefight between them and the Texas Rangers. And I think he's going to be one of the guys that's going to be good within that team, especially if say, Yordan Alvarez does say win the MVP. Like, he's going to be that guy that's going to be a rising star for them, replacing Alex Bregman, who also is a former Tiger. But, yeah, somebody's going to quickly replace.
He saw the light.
A guy. He did. He saw the light, but, you know, we'll see how long that light goes.
Now, this is the part of the show where I flex upon the possibility of how good my Boston Red Sox can be. Rob, how many top prospects do we have, Rob? No. Don't give the people no hand gestures. How many top prospects do the Boston Red Sox have, Rob?
I just put up three fingers, but I'm about to put up one. So, look.
Look. Don't you be like that.
They got three top 12 prospects right now. That is Roman Anthony, Christian Campbell, and I am spacing on the last one. But
don't worry about that. I'll inform the people later. It's the one that you named second, Kirsten Campbell. The man has been working on his hit. He's been on and he's been working with his hitting coach. And this is the part where I say this. It's my rookie of the year for the AL. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, for the AL. This man is going to help us propel us into the playoffs with Alex Bregman, who you help and you just named, also a former LSU Tiger. And Rafael Devers moving to the DH full time. He saw the light. All right, go ahead.
And by proxy, Nate. But I get to laugh at you because you thought. It's the principle. And that's what I love that you lost. Anytime that I can say that the Red Sox lost to something, I savor that motherfucker. And I'm glad. I am so glad that basically you lost your fight, Rafael Devers, because you thought your shit was so sweet that you basically was going to basically, you going, that you was Derek Jeter or some shit when A-Rod come. Like, nah, man, I already called Dibs. They was like, ha-ha, Dibs my ass. Get your ass DH. And that's what I'm happy about. Because, nah, bro, that shit wasn't going to fly. And I'm glad.
That's the strongest thing, though, dog. It's hitting the ball.
It is. And he's such a shitty third baseman, too. And I'm just
glad. Yes, he was.
I'm just glad that basically that shit happened to you. I'm just savoring that shit. Ha, ha, ha. But go on. What were you saying?
Nah, I just need him to focus on hitting the ball. He ain't got to worry about playing shitty third base no more. Bergman got that on lock. I need him to focus on going and hit 35 home runs this year. That's all he got to do. Get on base and hit home runs. That's it. Go be Marcell Ozuna for our team. That's what I did. I think so. Marcell hit 40 last year. Some shit like that. Which, like we discussed before, Rob, y'all have the ability of having guys that go from Cardinals to other teams and just get better. No clue why.
They didn't get better. That nigga was a 40 home run gold glove outfielder.
Did he hit 40 while he was with y'all?
I think so. Because since you want to bring his ass up, I'll basically say what he did. Let me go to Baseball References. Shout out to Baseball References. He hit. Let me see. When he was with us, the most he hit was, it was only 2 years. Granted, he most he hit was 29, but he hit 37 the year before he got to us. He had 37 home runs, 124 RBIs, and was a gold glover. He was good when he came to us, and that's why we went out and got him. And yes, we traded Sandy Alcantara, who then won a Cy Young, and then basically barely pitched after that because he had Tommy John and a slew of other injuries, and the Marlins were shit. And so that's what happened. Yes, Marcell Ozuna was on our team for 2 years and then went to free agency and then went to his Braves, and then basically stayed there and did other things that I'm not going to speak on because we're trying to keep this a family show. And so all I'm saying is, why you got to bring up old shit?
Come on, Rod. Don't be mad because he went to a successful team. It's okay. Kiss, I understand. It happens.
Man, all I'm going to say is this. Y'all are basically the Lazarus Pit for guys in the MLB. They go to y'all, revive themselves, and then leave and go be better somewhere else.
This nigga gonna make me rant, all right? I'm trying to hold back right now, all right? I did this before, all right? What are we talking about next?
Y'all are the equivalent to Rajah Goo's Lazarus Pit, bro. They go sit in that mug and goddamn at the Cardinals and rejuvenate themselves and then leave.
I hope the Green Monster falls on motherfucking Alex Bregman.
Look, you know, if it makes you feel any better, they might all be like Albert and at least go there for the last year to retire, you know. But they also, you know, they got to come out and succeed before they go back and do that.
What are we talking about next?
I'm just saying, it ain't me, dog. It ain't me.
Simulate the end of this motherfucking conversation.
Okay, so one more thing that we got to talk about in the NBA is I am on board for the NBA expansion. I just have one request. That whenever we reconference these teams, I'd like the New Orleans Pelicans or the Memphis Grizzlies to be one of the teams that you degradate to the east.
Yes.
And my whole thing is this. Those two teams lie in the middle to the east. San Antonio is more west because Texas is goddamn big as hell. Same thing, Houston be over there, Dallas. Texas has all three of its teams in the west. Okay, which they're right next door to Louisiana. Mm-hmm. I just like to see a team like New Orleans be degraded back over to the east. Make it an Eastern Conference team, shake it up, give people a little bit more variety of who they see in the conference. That way, whenever you're scheduling these games, these road trips will be actual more road trips away from their actual conference now. Mm-hmm. One of those two teams to the east would be very much more interesting. You'd kind of take a little bit of power from the west and give it to the east, make the east a little bit more competitive, maybe top heavy. It all depends on how things pan out. Because right now the NBA's expansion plan is Vegas and it's Seattle again, because Seattle wants a team. So if you're going to bring two teams to the west, you got to get rid of one from the east. Mm-hmm. Or you got to get rid of one from the west and move it to the east. And I'm nominating one of those two teams. I'd really like you to be the Pelicans.
Geographically, that makes the most sense, of course.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Memphis would be better for the east because it's A, closer. Technically, they both on like 50, Highway 55, but like, nah, like Memphis, I would rather go. But yeah, it's easy to work. And I don't really like a team in Vegas. Like, Vegas is too saturated with teams right now. Like, they really don't need an NBA team. I'd rather go to Seattle.
I'm so not so on. Okay. Vegas, I love you and I hate you. I just don't want to see you steal the Athletics from Oakland, because I feel like that team has enough history there that their owner needs to get his foot out of his own ass and stop trying to go against the people. And Vegas, the Spear, wonderful creation.
Mm-hmm.
Some next level shit. It works for fights. Cool. The Golden Knights, there's hockey. I can understand there's a lot of hockey teams in that region. The Raiders. I'm up in the air. We gonna see how this works out. I feel like the next thing, and they do have the Aces, which,
Aces?
I'm sorry, WNBA. Yeah, but the WNBA just don't hold the power that the NBA has. Like, they don't hold that super draw yet. I don't know how an NBA team in Vegas is going to work. Because we know these motherfuckers are going to get fucked up in Miami. Lord knows what's going to happen if they got a road trip to Vegas.
Oof. Especially probably coming to like Utah or some shit.
Like, we don't know what's going to happen. They coming out of Utah, Colorado. They done been in Denver. They done got to smoke the weed and then come all over to Vegas, bro.
To get more weed.
Shit can go, extremely left.
Oof.
We put y'all the team in Vegas.
They might even make a couple of them games.
Them niggas gonna go from like Vegas. They gonna go from Denver, Vegas to fucking LA and then basically never know that they were even there just from all that shit.
Man, they gonna be like Jackie Moon's team from fucking Semi-Pro. If you put a team in Vegas, dog, this shit is gonna get crazy. I don't know. NBA, step lightly with that team in Vegas shit right now. Because they get fucked up enough in these big cities. I don't know if y'all...
Plus, we want the Supersonics back.
Yeah, we do want the Supersonics back. I will like to see that return.
Gary Payton also said he would retire his jersey if they got the Supersonics back.
Yeah. I heard that.
Hell, do it for that. Because they did do some... They were a team that went to the finals. Yeah, they lost to Mike then, but fuck. If Mike put out a bunch of niggas, nigga. You wouldn't beat that.
Yeah, no. Sean Kemp and Big Gary Payton's jerseys need to be retired to Seattle. Pronto.
Yeah. And that's the proper place for them to be retired at. That's where they were. They were Supersonics, not Oklahoma Thunder.
Correct.
Get them back their history in Seattle. Because Lord knows they shouldn't have moved that team. That's just my opinion. Now, moving on. We here at Bramigos Podcast are wrestling fans. Okay? So to end our podcast today, we have to talk about the tag team division. Now, Rob brought to the forefront a topic of, is the SmackDown tag team division the best since it's been since 2001? Now, let me remind you guys some of the people who were in 2001. We got the Dudley Boys. We got Edge and Christian. We have, let me think, the Dudley Boys, Edge and Christian, the Hardys. Yeah, can't forget the Hardys. Mm-hmm. They were very, very heavy-hitting teams that
Outlaws.
Yeah. They made memorable moments, especially at TLC. Mm-hmm. But Rob has brought this question. Right now, as we speak, 2025, and I know Visky is going about to disagree like hell with you, but Rob, I'm going to give you the floor. Why do you believe that right now, this SmackDown Tag Team Division is as good as what we had in 2001?
Look at the absolute talent that we have in the Tag Team Division. You got the Street Profits. Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. You got Angelo and Montez. Those are two very formidable guys. Great. Probably going to have singles runs sooner or later. Whether that's a split or not, who knows? You got them two. You got DIY, who's basically made a leap as far as like them off, like out of the ring. They've always been exceptional in the ring, but they, like their heel turn, ever since they basically turned heel, exceptional run. They've been absolutely great. Then you got basically Humberto and Angel, like two guys that are under the radar for, you know, for to an extent, but two guys that basically have a supreme talent that you put them in the ring. Nigga, you hear me? You know, your feet fit on the pole, nigga? Hey, you hear me? Humberto and Angel, like, get familiar. How did this nigga? I want y'all to basically educate my homie Jarvis, who basically is a great wrestling fan as well. Like, I don't know where his blind spots is, but it seems like it's with that tag team, all right? But anyway, I was speaking. Then you got Pretty Deadly, who is also a great tag team, great NXT UK run, great NXT run, and basically really good on the main roster. Right there. And then you got the Motor City Machine Guns, who is a historically great tag team and has basically been great since they basically came into WWE. So you got all these tag teams that are coming together at one time. I think this really is the best division, the tag team division has been in the last 20 or so years. I really think so, because these are formidable teams, all great, and like, I don't really know how you can basically say that who to any of these motherfuckers. But go ahead.
Okay.
Speak on it.
Okay, Jarvis, go right ahead, because I know you feel some type of way about this. Go right ahead, Jarvis.
After naming who we named at the beginning, how dare you even put them at least a bit close to the 2001 tag team division? Sometimes when I'm watching WWE, I have to make sure my TV's not on mute every time the tag division come out. Because they're not really getting no house, you know. So, all right, now I give it to you. The Street Profits, love them. Love them to death. I'm a big Street Profits fan. You know, one of the best current tag teams in currently ever. All right, now DIY. I love the heel turn, but I don't think they're not doing it for me right now. And I don't think they're doing it for the WWE Universe.
Okay, go ahead.
Like, granted, I like DIY, though. I don't have nothing against him. I like DIY. Again, Motor City Machine Guns, love the tag team itself. But I just don't feel like they're bringing that aura that needs to be brought. Now, how can you say that when, to me, the best tag team division since 01 was around the 2016 to 18 era, when you had, all right, New Day was hot and fire. Mm-hmm. Usos was on fire. You had the bar. We don't just set the bar. We are the bar. We had the Wyatt family. We had Gallows and Anderson popping up hot. Come on, we had Breezango. That's when the Hardys returned for nostalgia. Come on now. Are we really comparing 2025 tag teams to the 10 years ago when they were hot? They was deep. The tag team division was deep.
You gonna bring a busted up Hardys.
I said for nostalgia.
Those niggas was in the ring and fucking Matt Hardy could barely walk. That's whatever. You gonna bring up Breezango, who I have no disrespect for.
It's like equivalent to Pretty Deadly. Come on now.
Equivalent to, and their, I would say their NXT title run was better than basically what, you know, their main roster was, as, speaking of Breezango. But Pretty Deadly has been doing the shit. NXT UK, NXT and main roster. Been doing the damn thing.
I remember them from UK. And so
that's what I would say. They basically beat them on that. And yes, you got Gallows and Anderson, who I would say is aight. All right. Overall, aight. All right. And yes,
just
Granted, Usos, New Day. Two of the best tag teams ever. Point blank, period, stop. But I'm telling you right now, when it comes to the talent that's here right now with DIY, Street Profits, Motor City Machine Guns, laps all those motherfuckers. Laps.
I mean, if you want to talk about pure wrestling ability, yes. But if you want to talk about getting a crowd on their feet, 10 years ago, it was better. The pops were unimaginable.
You heard how many motherfuckers say when Street Profits are up, what? They yell that shit. They out here,
I get you,
yelling that shit, dog. Like,
so you got one tag team versus how many?
I mean,
Street Profits are the only ones getting those pops.
When Angel Garza takes off his little pants and basically shows the tights underneath, that gives a pop. I'm just saying, pop somebody. I'm just saying, like, look.
Come on, man. Everybody.
All I'm basically saying is this is the most talented.
Rusev Day.
And I'm tired of that shit because when we were walking down Bourbon Street and every other motherfucker wants to yell Rusev Day with me when I am hungest of over. I don't need that in my life. All right. That brings up PTSD for me. Yes, Rusev Day was great, but wearing that shirt at that time was not. Because I am
drinking, everybody.
And everybody wants to yell at me while it's a crowded ass Bourbon Street Rusev Day. I don't like that nigga now. I don't like that nigga now just because of that shit. All right, even though I love Miro. That shit was on my nerves. But no, this is the best tag team division since, dog.
I feel I get you that they are pretty talented. But I just can't take away what the 2016 or 2018 tag division did from the everybody on that list had some kind of house, you know, and everybody brought something to the table. Regardless of how talented in ring you want to say they are, because, you know, everybody was looking forward to New Day breaking the record. That's when the Usos was coming out on their own, you know, leaving the face paint behind. You had, you know, Breezango, they corny skits. They like the corny skits.
Yeah, I love Breezango, but I love their NXT run. Their main roster run didn't hit. That's the thing. Breezango in Full Sail was great. Breezango on the road, on the main roster, was not. And you can basically blame
Wyatt Family tag.
Wyatt Family was great, but it's still to where it wasn't what it is now. That's what I'm saying, man. Like, it's not it now. I can't agree.
Maybe we watching different people in the crowd when they come out. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe. I'm looking at the ring. You looking at the stat sheets. Oh, this is what we got here. We just got a disagreement of how we both perceive this whole thing. Yeah. But it's cool though. I'm not gonna blame you for the way you watch. You do you, boo boo. But what
you
I will
you
say
do
to
you, man. Hey.
Is this is the most talented. You can't say that it ain't. I laid out everything.
Okay, all right, granted, I give you the most talented in ring, but I feel like the ones that brought the aura, you can't lie. 10 years ago, man, it was unmatched.
Okay, fine. I'm gonna go with your whole Wyatt thing. Who was carrying that Wyatt team? It wasn't Harper. It wasn't Rowan. It was RIP Bray. Grieving no RIP to Luke Harper, aka Brody Lee. It was Bray was carrying that. So if you want to basically say the team, and you want to basically call out the team for it, you basically got to say Bray. And so he wasn't even part of the tag team. That's where I'm telling you.
They did the Freebird rule like the New Day. Come on. Yeah. They did do the Freebird rule.
But that ain't the same though, dog. And then I'm talking about straight up teams. DIY been killing it with what they got with Street Profits and the thing with the tank entanglement that they got right there. Like, no, man, they been hitting it out.
That
the
entanglement
park.
Is nice, but that's all it is. Is literally, I feel like them three are literally struggling to hold up the tag division.
Struggling?
You really want to see Pretty Deadly come out there? Yes. You really interested in that?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Come on, man. Yes. Humberto and Angel?
Yes.
Really?
Those motherfuckers
they
are
pulled
talented.
Them out of catering. They pulled them out of catering to take the pinfall. Come
go.
On now.
There you go.
Come on now.
It's cool, no. Bloody. See, he said they pulled them out of catering to take the pinfall.
Come on now. LWO? You know, I'm tired of seeing all the Latino wrestlers in one group. Well, we on SmackDown, so you know I ain't gonna switch over. We all talking about SmackDown. All right, put it like this: I could give you talent in ring wise, but that's all I could give you. Respectfully, of course. Respectfully.
So here's my thing. Rob. If we talking talent, like he said, he feels like they have it talent-wise. But do you think those guys have the in-ring bravado on the mic that those guys did years ago?
All of them. I honestly do. Like, this ain't even shtick. Like, Street Profits definitely do. DIY definitely does.
Yeah, Street Profits definitely do.
Motor City Machine Guns, as far as a face tag team, have basically been doing the damn thing and being, like, that kind of old-school kind of feeling tag team. Berto and Garza, I think they're not great, but I think they've very much been playing a role within that, like within the storyline, and basically just kind of being an add-on, but basically being a great add-on within that storyline. And then Pretty Deadly, been fucking killing it everywhere. They did it with Nia and Tiffy, like they were basically a great like add-on to them. They basically been kind of like that tweener, being blamed for basically being attacking the Street Profits and basically carrying it off, working deals with everything. I think that they all of them have it to where they can carry like the storyline, carry whatever it is they need to. Like, this has been great, and I'm just what I'm saying. You gotta come over to the side, Bisky. You gotta know. You gotta see that this team has absolutely been great, or this division has been absolutely great. Like, you gotta see it.
I will continue to use the tag matches as my bathroom break. Sorry. I will say I am sorry to announce.
So I will continue to use the tag matches as my bathroom break.
Sad.
I'm not gonna lie to you, though. It hasn't been. To me, it hasn't been that bad of a tag division. It's been good. It's just, I don't... Okay, whenever I see Street Profits, I get kind of hyped. I be like, all right, they coming out here. I know that they coming with the charisma. Same thing, Usos, the whole... But I like DIY. I don't know where I'm at on some of the rest of them. They're cool. Talent-wise, they can all wrestle.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie. Wrestlers have evolved and they can go now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll stand on this hill whenever I say this. Not every wrestler now can cut the same promos that we cut, that they cut back then, or they're not as effective. And some of them is a personality thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... I feel like WWE has to figure out how some of these guys got to get their personality across to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's one of the biggest issues that we as the consumers of WWE see whenever we watch this.
I bet it, yeah. We're let not them in love show their with personality, them. You know, because sometimes WWE holds them back. So that's the case.
We need to feel them as their personalities, and then we'll really, really connect with some of these guys. Because even the ridiculous people, like, I can think of, like, stupid-ass tag teams, like, whenever Steve Blackman had these random partners like Al Snow and people like that, and they were funny, and it was their personality and their gimmick.
2017 tag team, Golden Truth, stupid ass tag team. We loved it.
Yeah, that's I think is part of the issue. We gotta figure. They have to figure out how to let their personalities get shown to us. Because they're wrestling now. They're really wrestling. The moves are there. Everything else is there. It's like we got all of the good juicy stories that they had early. And now we've gotten to a point where wrestling entertainment is entertaining wrestling wise. We just don't have the lines and the right personalities to go with what's going on in the ring. Street Profits, like I'm gonna say, they're gonna always be one of my favorites because I feel like they let them express themselves the most.
Yep.
They in one of my, like, literally probably they done moved up to probably my top five all time. I give you that. I love the Street Profits. Like, ever since NXT, that was my dog.
Top five all time? Who would be the other four?
You know, like Grant, okay, of course, Harlem Heat and the Dudleys is always my top. That's my top two, of course. Of course, I'm going to have to put my boys, the New Day, in there.
Mm-hmm.
New Day. And I feel like they done squares into the top five. And it's really kind of hard because somebody going to get left out, you know. They got to get left out. It ain't but five spaces. And if I had to put a number, this comes basically my personal, you know, entertainment, what I like. I would put the New Age Outlaws. This is just my personal desire, who I like to see.
I can see that.
Yeah.
No, that ain't really like who I feel like was better or worse. That was just on a personal thing.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. New Age Outlaws was, or if you didn't know.
No ass would call somebody.
Yeah, they were very, very, very entertaining. New Day, I feel like the New Day, until we figure out where they're going with this.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely are going to be top five all time because of records, who they were. They played into, I'm going to say, current day stuff like anime. The Bootio shit was amazing. The box of cereal, popping about a box of cereal and shit.
I had a box of Bootios.
Me too.
That's what I'm saying. Shirts, all of this. The New Day, I'm going to definitely say they're in there. Now, the interesting part of this, I want to see if the Street Profits can attain that type of level. I don't know if it's because the New Day was a three-man tag and they had such a good dynamic, and that's what made them that good to us. Or I'm trying to think of a two-man team that was on that level.
As far as
and what? I always think of a third person, like a just popularity in effect, because the New Day was everywhere. The New Day were
like
everywhere.
The Road Warriors.
You about to say the Road Warriors, something like that?
Yeah.
Because I mean, like the thing with the New Day was like they were three guys that basically were all exceptional, funny ass talents. Like I still miss their podcast. Like Biggie, Kofi. Bring the goddamn podcast back. And that was
hilarious.
That shit was funny. Big meaty man slapping me.
Slapping me. Like, yeah, that's the line I was going to. That's the line
the twins conversation. Like, that's some of the funniest shit I've ever heard in my life. Like, bring the goddamn podcast back. But no, like, it's hard. Like, because, I mean, those are three exceptional talents. And they just kind of, like, transcended a lot of shit, and WWE put them out everywhere because they were all just great talents as far as in and out of the ring. I don't think you could really have like too many cats that match that, because it ain't really that many cats in history that was just that good and for that long. Like the run that they had as far as like a babyface tag team, as far as a team of record, like they had it for a very long stretch. And there ain't too many teams that basically you could say like was able to do shit like that. And it really, you could say like the pandemic kind of fucked them up, and then they basically, you know, let Eat do his own run. But
yeah,
it would, like I don't think you could really say, like I can't think of like a team where they put them on Front Street like that. Outside of, I mean, not even the New Age Outlaws, even though everybody, like, we grew up on that team, you know, and basically can do the call outs and all that. So,
in WWE, you owe me a Big E championship run.
That nigga come back. He probably
what? If he come back,
if he comes back, you owe me.
I do too. I do too.
You owe me that, because I feel like if there's a guy with a personality that's a black guy that I'm going to throw the belt on, it's him. If you can give it to Bobby Lashley, you can definitely give it to him. Because he's going to have some funny promos.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely going to have some funny promos and some shit to definitely. Say. And he's going to make this a ride. Because
I also think it's because they was all really friends outside of the business. That's you it. Know, you know, it yeah, ain't just two random people they put together trying to make ideas work. They were all similar in personality already.
Yeah, give me Big E versus Cody Rhodes after he loses to John Cena. I need John Cena to get this thing one more time.
And honestly, I hate to say it. I think, as much as I hate to say it, I think the New Day might be dead.
They might be.
Yeah, and I'm thinking maybe that this whole thing is about Big E possibly coming back, like New Day being a heel. Because, yeah, for all intents and purposes, they ain't got shit else.
They really got nothing to do with them. Ever since that Big E.
But the thing about it is, the team was together for like 10 years, and you don't really get that for anybody. It's like, if this going to be the end, it's going to be the end. But it's like, yeah, if E don't come back, call it quits, let Xavier and Kofi do their own thing. And
I just hate that it ended like this with just a fizzle out.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to end with a fizzle out.
This would be a horrible fizzle out. But, guys, thank you for your time. And, of course, you know, this is us, Bromigos Podcast. Remember, like, subscribe, tell your people, share us. We always have the links in the description. We'll have the link tree in the description. You can subscribe to us here, YouTube, Facebook, Blue Sky. What else we got, Rob?
Fan base. You said
we have a Instagram ton of things. Yeah, Instagram.
Look up in the sky.
It is a ton of things. Yeah, you might look up in the sky and see us, and you might say, go follow them at Bromigos Pod.
Hit our link
just
tree.
Just throwing that out there. Yeah, hit our link tree and everything. And that's us. We're about to dip out. Price, Rob, and our boy, we finally got him on here ever.
Yeah.
Hundreds of episodes.
I will definitely be back. I enjoyed my time, fellas.
Yeah. And remember, like, subscribe, tell your people about us, and we about to get up out of here. Anything you want to say, Rob, before we get out of here?
Go ahead, get you some W's to get you some energy, get you some hydration. I need to put in a W order myself. And you know what? You go to W.GG, and then you basically use the promo code. What is that promo code, my boy?
Bromigos Pod.
Bromigos Pod to get you 10% off on your purchase. Because we're trying to save you money, because we're trying to save our money myself. Because, like, I got kids to feed. I got kids to put in college. I got to feed my goddamn self. I got to get new shirts.
We save you money.
And we going to do that. But good night. Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Get you some energy. Get you some dubby. And we out. Go home.
Yeah. We there out of here.
Deuce. Peace. One.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bromigos Podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.